how does it feel to be an advocate for this book vending machine?
Well, it goes back. I mean, I've been married, 60 years. And so I knew the man quite well, Alan Lane, my father-in-law, and had a huge affection and respect for what he had done. He's one of the great people of the 20th century in the sense that he enabled so many millions of people to read who had not read before. He wasn't just a goody-goody. It was business, of course it was. But he found a way of making books cheap and good. The great thing was that the quality of them was good, the design of them was good. And that's why it was so massively successful. He was a really, really, really good picker of titles. He was a very good picker of people. He was a lovely man. He wasn't an easy man, but most people who do great things in their lives have their difficulties as well. You know, that's just normal.
So it cost a few pence about 80, 90 years ago for books.
6p, yes.
6p a book. And now paperback books are about £10 to £12.
Yeah.
Do you think the price of books are affecting people reading?
Well, there's no doubt about it that the cheaper they are, the more people will be able to buy them. That's for sure. I would say, and it's important to say, that the library service, whether in schools or in the high street or wherever, is critically important, so that even those books that are very expensive because they're big and they're fat and distinguished or something, are free at the point of delivery. I mean, that's what's really important, is that literature is not for the people who can afford it. It should be for every citizen. It's rather like the health service, free at the point of delivery. And anything that makes it more available, like there and now, like this extraordinary thing we just put up in St. David's Station, is good. It's bringing books to where people are. People don't go into bookshops enough, so bring the bookshops to them. It's a good idea.
So there's a couple of children's books in the vending machines.
Not enough.
Do you think there should be much more?
Well, yes, of course, because I think when you're going on a journey, very often there are children with you. And you know what you want on a journey. You want the children to be occupied. So, fine, they can eat things. But how many packet of crisps can you eat between here and London, you know? No, of course, it's great. And because you can give them the book, you can read them the book, or they can read the book for themselves. No, it's a great thing, and how wonderful that it's there. You literally pick up a Penguin book, get on a train, and I've done this. I've sat down with a good book, and I haven't really woken up properly until I got to the station at the other end. And how wonderful is that for a parent, you know, to have a child who's completely occupied, and at the same time learning stuff, you know, because books, finally, what are they? They're the pathway to knowledge, understanding, empathy, all the things we need in life. So, yeah, wonderful way to spend a train journey. But always go GWR, you do understand that.
How often do you read books when you go on the train?
Not as often as I should. I do a lot of writing of them, because that's my job. And I've learned something rather wonderful. I've learned, with that machine you've got in your hand, which you're recording me with at the moment, I've learned that if you press the right buttons, you can speak into it and print comes up. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just discovered it a month ago. And it's wonderful because I've got a very bad hand. I've got arthritis in my finger and I'm finding writing really, really hard physically to do it. And I just discovered you can speak it down and it's brilliant. So I'm going to write 50 more books in a year, you know.
What do you think of audiobooks?
Look, the story is the thing. You know, the most important thing. I don't actually care how people get their stories. The great thing is to have the stories. I think it's really good to have print. Because I'm used to it, you know, but there's another generation that's grown up with audiobooks. I have to say printed books are just as popular as they ever were. They can go side by side. And the lovely thing about audiobooks is that there are people who find reading difficult. And sometimes it puts them off stories and puts them off poetry. Well, audiobooks can bring stories and poems to them, which is great. They've got a wonderful place, I think, now in the enjoyment of literature.
And finally, who's your second favourite author from Devon?
Who's my first favourite?
Or your first or second favourite?
From Devon?
From Devon.
Specifically from Devon. Well, by the implication of your question, which is very tactless, is that you want me to be embarrassed by saying that I'm certainly my favourite. Well, I'm not, actually. There are writers, we have had extraordinary writers, and differing writers in Devon. I mean, you know, Agatha Christie came from here. It was at this station, actually, that Alan Lane was travelling back from seeing Agatha Christie, because he was her editor at the time. So she'd be quite important. She's not my favourite. I don't happen to like books on crime. That doesn't stop her being one of the great figures of literature that we've had in this country. But Ted Hughes would be the person I suppose I'm closest to. He was a great mentor, great help to young writers, including me when I was young. And I love his poetry. The strength of his poetry, the rhythm of it, the sound of it is something I wish I could do. I'm starting to write poetry to some extent in his honour. In my 80th year, I've just produced a book of poetry, and I've loved doing it. I should have done it when I was 15, and I could have been poet laureate by now. I could have done all that stuff. But there we are. I've been writing stories.